folding pocket.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
And welcome back to The Fast and the Curious with me, Bessie Glover.
And me, Christian Hugill, where we will be looking back at the Japanese Grand Prix, which has happened. And when it did happen, Betty, I rather enjoyed it.
Yeah, what did you rate it out of 10, out of interest?
Great question. Glad you've asked it. I hadn't thought of that. I would say a 7.
That's quite high.
It's quite high. I saw one person who I follow on Twitter say, oh, it was a dull race. No, it wasn't. There was loads of different strategy. There was lots of great overtaking. There was a crash, which you never, of course, want to see, but it added to the drama. We didn't this time get a battle for the win and the usual suspect won it. But that was a great Grand Prix. Oh, I went very high then, didn't I? That was a great Grand Prix.
The thing is, I think, unfortunately, everyone is just going to have to get over the fact that Max Verstappen and Red Bull are in a league of their own. And most races are just going to be with Max dominating it at the moment because that's just the way it is. So you've got to just help yourself, guys. You've got to help yourself and you've got to start looking at things below Max, okay? You've got to start enjoying those battles.
It's funny that because objectively speaking, that was a better Grand Prix than the Australian Grand Prix. More happened, more different strategy, more overtaking. And let's be honest, Carlos always looked like winning in Australia. So we didn't really have a battle for the win then. All right, it was a different winner. But people do get sort of their perspective get shifted, doesn't it, when Max doesn't win. I thoroughly enjoyed that race. I thought it was great. I was, I actually got up in the morning and stayed up as well. So it was well worth spending Sunday being tired for. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay, so let's have a look at the podium then. Max came first, Checo came second. Is there anything that you want to say before we move on to Ferrari, Christian, which I think is probably a little bit more interesting?
Oh yeah, Ferrari definitely more interesting. There's lots more interesting stories, but it's important to say that even though Sergio Perez had a great weekend, like he was on the front row, I think that was for the first time since Miami last year, unbelievably, qualified less than a tenth off Max. Max still does it when it matters. Like, it always looks like whenever there's a problem, Max just finds a way past, all right, unless his car stops in Australia. But I thought the way Max looked a bit uncomfortable throughout practice, didn't look assured to be on pole, and then still wins by 12 seconds, it just shows his greatness as to how he managed to pull it out the bag when it matters. I thought that was really impressive. And while we're doing Red Bull briefly, if Sergio carries on like this, he's got that seat in the bag. He's had a really good start to the season, and that was, again, such an overall strong weekend from Sergio Perez, who hasn't been able to... We shouldn't take for granted that he can get the most out of the Red Bull, because he didn't do that for a lot of last year. So I was really impressed by Checo, and of course, again, impressed by Max.
It's interesting, isn't it, how Checo is sort of mentally managing to cope with it a little bit better this season in comparison to last season, don't you think?
I just think he's in a better headspace. That was evident from the minute we saw him. I thought this when we interviewed him at the Red Bull launch, when he said, you know what, I think I need to concentrate on being more consistent rather than I need to concentrate on winning the world championship. And he's been more consistent. He's had such a strong start to the season. I didn't expect it. I expected the narrative of last season of, oh, Checo's not getting it, doing it well enough to carry straight on. And he's just stopped it. And I think he deserves real credit for that.
Do you think it's because we spoke to him pre-season and that just gave him that extra little fire in his belly?
I don't think there's any doubt that that is the case. Mm. I think he had a nice time with us. I think that mentally reset him. He thought, what lovely podcasters they are. Of all the podcasts I've been on, they seem two of the nicest people I've ever met. They were well-presented. They do a great podcast.
Well-presented.
And I just think he thought that sort of reset him a little bit. And then I understand he's since then been very impressed with the podcast and has listened every week and particularly enjoyed the Bernie Collins episode.
Yeah, and he's absolutely buzzing to come on and have a curry with us, isn't he? Because we spoke about curry with him.
We did, yeah. We speak about curry with most of our guests, don't we?
Yeah, I love food. Anyway.
Oh, we're having a curry later.
Oh, delightful. Let's talk about Carlos Sainz then, who obviously led the Ferrari charge in third. I saw this stat about Carlos Sainz. He's finished on the podium in every race he's competed in this season so far, making him the only one with a 100% podium record.
Yeah, I saw a different stat as well.
Oh, well, you're going to outstat me.
I'm going to outstat you.
Oh, no.
He's also the only driver to have finished on the podium this season after having been admitted to hospital.
Oh, yes. And is he the only driver without an appendix?
No.
Oh, who doesn't have an appendix?
You know this. You know this.
Oh, Oscar. No, who?
No, Oscar's not got teeth. We've discussed
Oscar
this.
Oscar doesn't have teeth.
Oh, Oscar doesn't have teeth.
Alex Albon.
Oh. Remember, because there was the appendix comparisons, because that's how Nick De Vries got his fill-in. You remember, yeah, you forgot your appendix statistics.
But anyway, Carlos Sainz is absolutely loving life without his appendix, isn't he? He's in such good form at the moment, yet doesn't have a seat, Christian, next season. Yet he's flying. Why do you think he's doing so well?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think it's very important for me as the resident F1 expert to say when I don't know something. I have no idea why Carlos's form is just... He was always really close to Charles. But this year, he's beaten Charles in every race he's competed in. But I don't know what's led to this Carlos Sainz 2.0. Back in the day, we used to say, can Valtteri Bottas take it to the next level? And there was all the, are we going to get Bottas 2.0 as a proper F1 talking point? Well, we've seen evidence of how a driver over a winter can just take a step up. So we've got Sainz 2.0. It's so impressive. And you say he hasn't got a seat for next season. He has. Carlos Sainz will be in Formula 1 next season. We just don't know where yet. And I hope it's with a team that can help him battle for wins, because he's on form. It's the form of his career.
Do you think Lewis will be feeling the pressure at all? I wonder what Lewis's mindset is. I mean, it's obviously hard for you to answer that question because you're not in his brain, but it must be difficult.
There's two ways of looking at that. There's two ways of answering that question. Over the winter, last season, all season, we said it's not really clear who's the second quickest. And I think that Mercedes got second in the Constructors' Championship because Lewis had one of the seasons of his career. This year, Ferrari are comfortably the second quickest car. Like, there's no doubt about that. You look at the results, that is the overall second quickest package. If anyone, we're looking for Formula One fans to take the fight to Red Bull, it's going to be with Ferrari. So on the one hand, Lewis Hamilton's looking at that and going, quite fancy being a part of that. Thank you very much. These guys have got more of an idea of how to chase down Red Bull than we've got in the silver car at the moment. In terms of whether he's feeling the pressure, I don't think he is, because yes, George is, you know, ahead of him and once again finished ahead this race. You know, Lewis finished ninth this time out, George finished seventh. In Saudi, Lewis was ninth, George was sixth. Obviously, Lewis didn't finish in Australia and neither did George. So George is consistently ahead. But Lewis is so uncomfortable with that car that he's probably not thinking he can be judged fairly. I don't think he's going to be having an existential crisis, because it's just such a... And seemingly, again, another tricky car for him to wrap his head round.
Yeah, I was listening to Toto Wolff after the race, and he was just saying, yes, it's just a learning experience. It's just a learning experience.
Well, we were at the Mercedes launch, and there was such optimism. The problem Mercedes have had, they can't seem to get the car to do what they want it to do. It's not following how it should. Or even if it does, like Lewis Hamilton said after one of the practice sessions at the weekend, that's the best I felt in the car all year. And then come race day, the car behaves like a shopping trolley on the hard tyres, especially when Ferrari worked really well on the hard tyres. So Toto says it's a learning weekend, but they've been learning throughout this rule set and nothing's changing. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel for Mercedes, and that gives me no pleasure in saying that, because it's good for the sport for them to be up there. We want them to be up there showing that potential like Ferrari are doing, but they're just not. Where does this end for Mercedes? When are they going to get to grips with this car?
It's really hard, isn't it? It's hard to watch, and it's annoying as Formula One fans to see Mercedes in this state. But Toto Wolff was also asked, sort of, how are you coping mentally? Because you're losing your star driver at the end of this season, and once again, things aren't going very well for you. And he said, well, actually, in 15 years, if you look back at this time, we've dominated the sport for so long, and we haven't actually been that bad. You'll probably look back on it and think, well, it wasn't a disaster. It wasn't terrible. Do we just have too high expectations on Mercedes, and actually it's sports, so sometimes, you know, teams are going to have dips and then they're going to come back up again?
That's a really good question. Part of what you say is right. you can't dominate forever. And Red Bull had a big dip in between. You know, they dominated with Vettel. Then you had the Hamilton and Rosberg winning years, and then Red Bull have come back. So yes, there are inevitable rises in sport. But for the very reason you've just said, for the fact that they've won so many titles, that is why to not be winning, all right, that's not that bad. But to just look nowhere near fighting for wins, that's the problem. If they were coming second and still winning races in the championship, but not winning the whole thing, all right, fine. I've got considerably less of an issue with that. And it's also the lack of progress. How often will regular listeners hear me bang on about you're looking for solid signs of progress, the likes of which we've seen from McLaren in the last 18 months, that we're seeing now from Ferrari? We're not seeing any of that for Mercedes. There's no forward progression. And I'm gutted to say that because I want, with all everything in me, the team to be doing well, because they've got two drivers at the moment. Obviously, next year, Lewis won't be there, capable of fighting for championships. The sport's losing out because of this. So, no, something's wrong. And the fact that Toto was supposed to miss this race, but actually showed up.
Ooh, good point.
Shows you everything you need to know, I think.
Well, let's talk about Ferrari then, because we sort of glossed over them a little bit. And the thing that really interested me, that really stood out to me, was how they sort of outfoxed McLaren with their tyre approach and their strategy. What did they do so well?
Well, fundamentally, I think the car was quicker anyway. I think the fact that Leclerc and Sainz both had different strategies and they still beat McLaren shows you that I think the McLaren is on balance the third quickest car at the moment, but I think the Ferrari is a quicker package overall. But there was the crash at the start, which we'll get onto in a bit. Then there's a red flag and you can change tyres under the red flag, which some of them did. After that red flag, you're effectively looking at a choice between a one-stop race or a two-stop race. So they both tried different things. I mean, Norris did medium, medium, hard, like Sainz did medium, medium, hard. Piastri did medium, medium, hard. Basically, whatever McLaren did, Ferrari had a way past them anyway. So I think Ferrari were generally the quickest car. But all those different mixtures...
I don't know why this is making me laugh, but it sounds like you're doing some sort of rap or something. I don't know. Medium, hard, hard.
The fact that there was all those different medium, hard, 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 soft, medium. The fact that there was all these different tyre combinations mean that there was people out of position, people were regaining the natural position on track, and it made for a really interesting Grand Prix. But the fact that, as I say, both Sainz and Leclerc both did different strategies and they still finished third and fourth, I think shows you they had the overall quickest car. But that, by the way, is also to answer another question, why we had such a fun battle with sort of the rest of the top 10 all doing different strategies.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? Because if you just go from three down, it's quite exciting. There's loads of battles going on. But on Ferrari, don't you think that it sort of shows sort of how far they've come, that they're sort of executing the races well this time?
That's a brilliant point, because not only did they execute one strategy really well today to get Sainz on the podium, they also executed the second strategy well to lift Leclerc up through the standings. Mm. So, you know, we had so many situations last year where they messed up strategy. Today, they did two different strategies perfectly. That team has taken a step forward in every area.
Yeah, they used to make me quite nervous to watch.
Yeah, they just seem so much more competent.
Yeah, exactly. They're on it. Do you think Charles Leclerc is debating losing an organ or something just to, you know, get himself up to speed?
I wouldn't suggest, and this might be a controversial statement, but I'm going to say it anyway, I don't think Leclerc needs to resort to mutilation to catch up with Carlos Sainz. I think he's got enough talent within him. Now, again, other people may disagree with that statement. And, you know, Fast Curious Pod on socials. if you think Charles should be removing body parts to look for performance.
What body part would you remove if you had to go faster, do you reckon?
Do you need your hair, for example? Now, again, Charles got fabulous hair, but could that go... Could you do like a cyclist? They shave all their body, you know, every fine margins and all of that. So... That's where I'd look. But as I say, you know, it's fun to speculate on these issues, isn't it? But I would probably think he's not quite at that level yet. But who knows? If he turns up one day bald as a coot, then we'll know that he's trying to try everything to catch Carlos Sainz.
Before we carry on with this episode, Christian, when I say Nord, what do you think of?
Well, when you say Nord, I say VPN. Nord!
I knew you. Gonna do that. I knew you were gonna do that.
Come on, Nord.
VPN.
Nord.
VPN. Yeah.
VPN.
Right. Lovely. Do you have any Nord VPN merch yet?
No, a week after week, they sponsor this podcast and still don't provide me with a cap. Very grateful to them sponsoring the podcast, but the lack of hat continues to disappoint me. Unlike their VPN service, which actually is an extremely high quality offering, I find.
Well, I don't think you have any room for any more hats behind you, mate. So I think it's for the best. NordVPN, if you're listening, don't give him a hat. But let's remind everyone of how NordVPN can benefit Formula One fans and also just anybody else that wants to catch up on all of the sport, like me and Greg, when we go on holiday. From switching your virtual location to log into your streaming services, you can watch the races, and it can also help you save money on planning trips to races around the world. NordVPN, it's just an absolute must-have, Christian.
Yeah, do you know what else is a must-have if you follow Formula One?
If you're going to say caps or merchandise, I'm absolutely going to leave it. And I'm just going to walk away.
All right, then. Tyre knowledge.
Oh, God.
All right, I won't say caps. But yeah, it's our NordVPN life hack, isn't it? I love this. So, like, changing the virtual location. So, you know, if you're away and, like, there's a new episode of the programme you're watching and you want to download it for the flight home, but you can't, you know, you're going to get spoilers, so it stresses you out. If you get NordVPN, you can change your virtual location, download it, and it's brilliant. Also, you can get better deals because travel companies sometimes change the prices of flights and accommodation depending on where you're booking it from. So if you're heading to the Chinese Grand Prix in a couple of weeks, it's the perfect time to sign up and make the most of all those benefits.
Oh, it's just so good, isn't it? And you can do all of that for the price of a cup of coffee per month. So really, you've just got
nothing to lose.
Just a cup of coffee.
Where might I find more information?
Well, I can tell you now if you let me.
Oh, yeah.
If you let me speak. So to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/TFATC. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan, and there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee.
30-day?
I know. The link is in the description of this episode.
30-day guarantee, still no cap, you know.
Should we talk about that crash then between Daniel Ricciardo and Alex Albon?
Yeah, okay.
What happened? It happened so early in the race. What went wrong?
That S-bend section going uphill at the start of the lap in Japan is one of the best, but therefore most complicated corners and sort of complex of corners on the calendar. It's also, what did I say in the preview podcast when we had Sebastian Vettel on, which if you've not watched, by the way, go and watch Seb on the podcast. It's brilliant. But I said at the end of that, it's a tight track. It often causes chaos. And what happens on lap one? The fact it's a tight track causes chaos. It was 50-50. They were next to each other. One drifted out wide. One hadn't got anywhere to go. There was an unfortunate touch. For me, it's a complete racing incident. The sort of thing that happens at the start of a Japanese Grand Prix. I don't put the blame on either driver's door. I just think it's an unfortunate racing incident.
Mm.
It's very harsh to blame either driver. And there's people looking to jump on the Daniel Ricciardo blame game. Yes, all right, he was out-qualified by Yuki, but very fractionally. I think the sort of is Daniel under pressure storyline rolls into the next race because we didn't really get to see him this weekend. So I don't blame either driver.
You mentioned Yuki Tsunoda. We've got to talk about him because for me, he's the star of this race. He's the story. He's done so well. Points at home, well, a point at home at his home race for the first time. I'm just loving him this season.
He was a proper star of this weekend, but it's not just been this weekend. Yuki, actually since pre-season testing, when I was at pre-season testing, there was talk at the paddock of, oh, Yuki's going well, the RB looks strong. From minute one of turning up to this season, Yuki's looked on it. You know, we were going into this season thinking, can Daniel put pressure on Sergio for the Red Bull seat? And the opposite's been true. You know, Yuki's been putting pressure on Daniel for his seat, especially with Liam Lawson waiting in the wings. And whenever Daniel makes any sort of mistake, the F1 director immediately finds Liam Lawson to show the camera to. Even if Liam's in the bath, they'll find a way of cutting to Liam Lawson the minute Ricciardo makes a mistake. Such is the cutthroat nature of F1. Really impressive from Yuki. Like, he's been really impressive all season. He had one bad moment where he lost his temper after the checkered flag, after he'd been scrapping with Daniel. I think that was in Saudi, I could be wrong. But aside from that, on this form, he's looking to get himself a promotion, let alone lose his seat. Really impressed with Yuki Tsunoda this season. Another great, and so great to see it, you know, get points in front of his home fans. The first since Kamui Kobayashi, first Japanese driver to get points in Japan. Really impressive.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? So good, so good. You could tell he was just absolutely loving life. But what's so interesting with him as well, we talk a lot about what I'm so interested in, the mentality of these drivers and how they sort of hold it together. And he used to not be able to hold it together when he had that pressure on him. And that's what I think has changed, is he's actually mentally stronger. Like, he's not cracking under the pressure anymore.
He's certainly more mature. And as I say, other than that one flashpoint in Saudi, he's certainly more mature in that. So there's always been raw speed there. But it's a little bit like when we talk about Logan Sargeant. There's flashes of speed, but can you put it together over a weekend? There was a similar thing with Yuki. And he's just putting these complete weekends together where he comes in, looks quick in practice, gets it into Q3, does a good job in qualifying, then backs it up with a strong race. Brilliant, really impressive. And again, you know, and points, if you're not one of the big teams, every single point is gold dust this season. And not only did Yuki manage to get his incredibly impressive seventh in Australia, but that's 10th today. That's another goldmine of a world championship point. Really crucial for RB.
Well, we've got a listener question for you, Christian. Are you ready?
That's nice. Yeah, I am. And by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and would like to send a question, you can do so to Fast Curious Pod or pop it in the comments on YouTube and we'll do our best to answer it.
Okay, so this one's from Miles. He says, with all of these performances from Logan, do you see him making it past the summer break? With Kimi Antonelli turning 18 and having enough super licence points, could they be eyeing him up to take his seat? Brutal, Miles. Brutal.
It's a harsh question from Miles. Is it an unfair question? It isn't. There's two parts to the answer. I don't see Kimi Antonelli getting into a Formula One car this season. He's not done a season in Formula Two yet. I think it's too early to disrupt his development. I would think that was too much too soon. I've watched him in F2 this year. He looks promising, but I'd be leaving him in F2 this season to finish the year. So part two of the question is Logan under pressure? Yes. It's too long in his career now for us to be saying he does this well, but then it falls back. We've been waiting too long for that solid, consistent weekend. And I'm really worried about Logan because we like him on the podcast, because he's on a lot, because he's a friend of ours, because he's a great guy as a person, because he's popular within the team. Mm. Everybody at the Fast and the Curious wants Logan to do well, but it's a worry. And we've seen with the decision James Vowles made in Australia and with how important points are this season, it would be a harsh thing to let Logan go. Would it be too harsh? No. So I don't think his seat's safe. In terms of who, the big question would be who that would be. Maybe that's for another podcast, but a change in the summer break or halfway through the season, well, it's not like that won't have crossed James Vowles' mind.
It's just so hard. I really thought maybe this season could be the season that Logan starts piecing it all together. He's got a new PT. He was putting on loads of muscle. He's been running. But it just hasn't happened.
And who knows? It still might. It still might. Mm. Alex is out the race. And you think, this is your chance, Logan. You know, go and lead the team. And he ends up in the gravel. And it's tricky because it's such a hard circuit. You know, we saw mistakes all weekend, but come on, this is F1. It's starting to look increasingly unlikely that it is at some point going to come together for Logan Sargeant.
Okay, well, thank you for a lovely debrief, Christian. I very much enjoyed this. We're going to be back on Friday with a catch-up with one of our regulars, one of our favourite drivers, although we do say this about all of our regulars, Oscar Piastri. He's going to be on the podcast. Can't wait to speak to him.
I'm really interested to chat to Oscar about how he's finding season two, because of, you know, his talent's still so clearly there. And McLaren have had a really good start to the season, I think, because a few people said, oh, they might struggle a bit. There was some noises that they weren't as competitive as they might be, but actually, I think probably on balance, the third quickest car, certainly in a better place than Mercedes, I think. So, yeah, looking forward to getting Oscar on the podcast, which not only will you be able to listen to, but you'll be able to watch on YouTube as well. So search for The Fast and the Curious on YouTube if you've not found us on there yet.
And it was his birthday this weekend, so we can wish him a big happy birthday, find out if he had fun.
He's had his own Grand Prix as well, so plenty to catch up with Oscar Piastri. And Greg will be with us, so I'm sure that the two will talk about cricket for a little bit. As we'll, you mean you can nip off and make a tea at that point?
Yeah, we'll just leave them to it. Can't be asked to listen to that. Anyway, no. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. We are at Fast Curious Pod. Send us in your questions and we will be back next week.
Bye.